Today's music begins with two hymns on the chimes. Guide me, O my great Redeemer, and Jesus, I live to you. Next is a piano prelude, an arrangement by Timothy Shaw on today's opening hymn, All Who Hunger, Gather Gladly. While this text is not in New Century Hymnal, the tune, Holy Manna, is. Use the piano prelude to familiarize yourself with the tune before we sing the hymn. Today's anthem, an arrangement of the hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past, by Michael Burkhart, is presented by the St. John's Chancel Choir. This is the first anthem of the year for this ensemble, and was completed in an entirely virtual setting. Choir members rehearsed the piece over Zoom, recorded their individual parts on their own, and uploaded their videos, not something a choir usually does. What you will hear today is all their voices together, singing as one. While the choir is physically distanced, they are not apart. Today's anthem is a celebration for Celebration Sunday, yes, but also a sign that God is with us in all ages as we make music and worship, even during this pandemic. The video version of this anthem is posted on the St. John's Facebook page. Please watch it to not only hear the choir, but see them as well. Today's hymn after the sermon, Let Us Hope When Hope Seems Hopeless, follows in this theme of assurance. And the postlude, the Allegro Maestoso movement, from Felix Mendelssohn's second organ sonata, concludes the service in a celebratory fashion.
Thank you. As we enter into our time of worship today, as always, I want to remind you, whenever we gather, near or far apart, that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire in our time with you today to meet you where you are and to share God's love with you. To help us get into a frame of mind and heart for worship, I'm going to invite you to take a deep breath with me. As you inhale, invite God's Spirit of peace to fill you. And as you exhale, set aside all the worries and anxieties of the day. And join me as we reflect on today's theme. Our theme for today is Tensions in the Wilderness. Last weekend, I and many others from the Penn Central Conference of the United Church of Christ took to our own little corner of the wilderness to join together to say farewell to our beloved church camp, Hartman Center, the way so many of you did with the sale of Mensch Mill several years ago. Walking on familiar trails through the woods with old friends, we reminisced about all we had experienced, felt, seen, and shared in that sacred wilderness. Though we mostly talked about the good memories, we all know that camp was a place where every single feeling was felt and every emotion expressed, even the hard ones. There's just something about the wilderness, a place where it is so easy to get lost and found. Many of us reflected that growing up, we only ever truly felt like ourselves in those woods. It was as if the wilderness and the community that formed within it were the only ones who could hold the tension of living. Now, whether or not you have a place in the woods, or at the beach, or some special outdoor spot where you go with all your tensions of living, I think you know what I mean when I say that there is just something about the wilderness moments of our lives that strip us down to our most raw and real selves. And yes, tensions often arise in those moments with ourselves and others, because so often the wilderness places push us to our limits. But that wilderness is also so many times where we meet God at our most vulnerable and true. May we bear this in mind as we face our own wilderness tensions in the midst of these challenging days, and even now, as we gather together to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Invite you to join me now in saying our prayer of confession out loud, if you've got the words in front of you from our website or Facebook page, or simply by listening and praying along silently. Let us pray. Loving God, we confess that we are a bit lost in the wilderness of recent days. We are disoriented, weary, and growing tired of having to continually navigate and find our way. The further and further we get from that which is predictable and familiar, the more tensions within us and around us arise. Forgive us, God, and come alongside of us as we wander. Instead of grumbling, may we open our eyes to glimpses of grace. Instead of continual complaining, may we carry compassion to those who need it. Instead of whining, may we learn to walk with you, one foot in front of the other. Amen. Friends, the good news this day and every day is that God does come alongside us with forgiveness, with grace, with mercy, and with love. In the thick of whatever wilderness we find ourselves in, we never walk alone. Grab hold of these gifts that God freely gives each of us, and most importantly, share them with others generously. Amen.
Our first scripture reading today comes from the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament book of Exodus, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 2. The Israelites have been complaining, and God responds. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you. And each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning, you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the people. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." And our second lesson today comes from the New Testament, from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Christians in Philippi. He wrote this letter to them from prison, and we hear his words of true confession as he writes, "For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing. For God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." These are God's words for us this day. May God give us wisdom beyond our own to understand them and apply them to our own lives. Amen. It is time for our special message for the young and young at heart, and so listen closely. Following instructions is really, really important, but sometimes also really hard. If you've ever tried to build something, say, with Lego blocks, or put a new toy together, or take a test at school, especially now online, or find your way to the house of a new friend, you know what I'm talking about. When we don't follow instructions, things tend to turn out badly. The Israelites in the wilderness, with Moses as their leader, learned this the hard way. They were really hungry. Actually, they were hangry, a combination of hungry and angry, because Moses had taken them from Egypt, where things were, yes, pretty awful, but where at least they had plenty to eat. And now they were in the middle of the wilderness with nothing much to eat, and they were not happy campers. They complained to Moses. Moses cried out to God for help, and God provided food for them. Quails every night. Quails are a little bit like small hens and very tasty. And then God also provided something called manna every morning. The manna was flaky and sweet. It covered the ground. There was plenty for everyone. Now, the clear instruction God gave them was that they were to collect just enough manna for one day to feed themselves and their families, no extra, because God would provide fresh manna the next day. The only day they were to gather extra was on the day before the Sabbath day, their Sunday, because that was to be a day of rest and a day for worshiping God. So no big surprise that not everyone chose to follow the instructions. Some gathered more manna than they needed, just in case God might miss a day or not follow through on a plan made. Guess what happened when they did that? The manna spoiled. It got all wormy and slimy and yucky, and they had to throw it away. You see, God wanted them to learn to trust, wanted them to believe that God would care for them no matter what. Sometimes it's hard to trust God. Sometimes we're afraid we will not have enough. So we grab things and we hide them, and we worry only about ourselves and what we need, and that isn't a very good way to live. Let me assure you, God never gives us instructions in order to make our lives difficult or to make us unhappy. God gives us instructions in order to make our lives better, in order to make it possible for us to live with more joy, more hope. So, let's try to follow God's instructions, beginning with the instruction to love God with all our hearts and love our neighbors as we love ourselves. Let's ask God to help us do that as we pray. And then we'll end by praying together the Lord's Prayer. Dear God, the instructions you give us are important, and yes, sometimes hard, but you give us those instructions for a reason. Help us to trust you, to love you, to believe that you will always be there for us, not just today, but every day. And you will provide for us when we ask for your help and listen carefully to what you want us to do. Thank you. Now hear our prayer as we pray together, the prayer Jesus taught his disciples and us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.